Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, Mount Zion, the 12th Hour. In the Liberty Hill, Texas, today is May 8, 2014, or it is Ziff 10, 2018. We will start our first service today with a song entitled, Face to Face with Yahshua, My Savior. Face to face with Yahshua, my Savior, face to face, what will it be? When with rapture I behold Him, Yahshua, who died for me. Face to face shall I behold Him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all His glory, I shall see Him by and by. Only faintly now I see Him, with the darkening veil between. But a blessed day is coming, when His glory shall be seen. Face to face shall I behold Him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all His glory, I shall see Him by and by. What rejoicing in His presence, when a banished grief and pain, when the crooked ways are straightened, and the dark things shall be plain. Face to face shall I behold Him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all His glory, I shall see Him by and by. Face to face, oh blissful moment, face to see and know, face to face with my Redeemer, Yahshua, who loves me so. Face to face shall I behold Him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all His glory, I shall see Him by and by.
Part 4, we're in typology, a continuation. We're in 12 symbolic code number 4, and we're going to continue on where we left off from our last study. We're going to have just a little review. It says, in the meantime, Joseph's brothers kept coming down until finally they were reduced to such poverty that they had to leave their country and come unto Joseph for their food and living. We should be able to see in this that although Elohim's people may be disgracefully dealt with by the jealous associates, still they will not suffer the wrong forever if Elohim is with them. For the Joseph followed righteousness, and no man could prevent Elohim from blessing him with the riches and honor. It matters not what men may say or do against you to put you down if you have Elohim with you. Will in the end be on top and they at the bottom, for the jealousy may be as cruel as the grave, but sooner or later righteousness is rewarded. how important it is that Elohim's people have their minds constantly employed in the serving Him perfectly in everything. We can indeed make ourselves the poorest of the poor by concerning ourselves wholly with our own deeds and wants instead of working toward the goal of producing all we can for the benefit of others. Doing for others is what brings success and alone makes one in demand. Job, you remember, was a very rich man because he was perhaps Elohim's best friend on the earth at that time. At least the devil grew jealous of him and told the Yahweh that Job was not as good a man as the Yahweh thought, and he could prove it if he were allowed to bring enough trouble and hardship to him. And you remember that the Yahweh allowed the devil to do anything he wanted to Job except to take his life. In the midst of the fires of his many and grievous afflictions, Job declared, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Job 13:15. Because Job did not fail, he in the end was many times richer than he was in the beginning. Elohim's people do not become rich in any respect by the plan of the fool, nor does it help for them to give themselves over to self-pity in the day of the adversity. When a person feels sorry for himself, he has at least brought himself to a state of a stalemate, if not outright defeat. None of the men of Elohim, regardless how severe were the hardships they were called upon to bear, felt that these sacrifices were too great. Generally speaking, all these men possessed a stabilizing power that is hard to explain, other than to say that it is a gift of the Elohim which He bestows upon those who are intimately and firmly acquainted and united with to Him. Solomon too saw his great personal need, not for his own personal benefit, however, but for the ultimate benefit of his people. And he longed for the fulfillment of his need for their sake. That is why he asked Elohim for the right thing, wisdom, and Elohim gave him everything, including wisdom. David was anointed king over the Israel because Elohim had daily seen him while he was a shepherd boy, faithfully doing all he could to take the very best care of his father's sheep. Elohim knew that if David would give even his life for the sheep, he would be the right one to rule the kingdom. Well, playing the role of antithetical David today, I can understand a little bit about David, and I can understand a whole lot about how the Spirit works when it calls somebody to duty. For the day that I was called to the duty in the office of antithetical David, I was busy planning. It was on a Sunday, first day of the week. I was planning my week, you know, and my business that I was doing. And all of a sudden the phone rang and I got a call from my mother, and that totally changed my life. That was the day that I learned about the kingdom of Yahweh, where it was located at, and who was in charge of it, and I joined it. I joined it that day. Within 3 hours after the phone call, I had made my way to where my mother was, and I had met the people that introduced me to the message of the everlasting kingdom of heaven, and I took a hold of it right then and there, and I haven't looked back. And I can remember spending my whole life with them, the 33 years of total consecration to the job that was given to me. And that was to be a witness unto the house of Israel. And so I understand a little bit about David's being anointed and his faithfulness after he come through his sin problem and got his forgiveness and forever blotted out from his record. Let us continue. We're on page 8 of here, 12th symbolic code number 4. We're on the last paragraph. It says, for the only lasting fortune man can obtain is gotten through the righteousness, through the Elohim's way and in his time. For the successful life is not that one which gained riches and acquired fame for this life and nothing for the future life. The successful man, on the contrary, ensures his eternal riches by the daily making straight paths for his feet to walk, and thus ensuring also his present life success. Elohim controls the distribution of the riches, and he does not give them unto his people as a blessing if they are selfish. If such people obtain wealth, it is invariably a curse unto them. Now let us study Jacob's life for a few minutes this afternoon. You remember that he was the son of Isaac, whom Elohim had greatly blessed, and when he grew old, Jacob coveted the birthright, which according unto the custom was to be Esau's. In the desiring it, Jacob was not seeking to become rich. He was after the spiritual blessing that it would bring, and which Esau did not esteem highly, until in one way or another Jacob had successfully gotten it for himself. If a man wants spiritual blessings bad enough for the right purpose, Elohim will give them unto him. After Jacob obtained the birthright, he had to leave home and build his life with practically nothing at his uncle's Laban's. There Jacob agreed to work for the Laban 7 years for his daughter Rachel, whom he wanted to marry. During those 7 years, Jacob had practically taken the business under his control, and Elohim had greatly blessed his efforts, and through it Laban also was blessed. But Laban deceived him at the end of the 7 years and gave him the wrong girl. Jacob again agreed to work another 7 years for Rachel. During this time, Jacob's work was of the same high quality as it has been before, even though he has been treated wrongly by his uncle. Since Elohim's people in this age are to endure the time of Jacob's trouble and receive the blessing which is promised unto his posterity in the latter days, it would be time well spent for us to give further attention unto the details as they are recorded in the Bible, which describes the faithfulness with which Jacob, our type, discharged his daily responsibilities, and compare ourselves with him to see if we are as diligent and careful and trustworthy as he was. Let us read first Genesis 30:25-43. And it came to pass when the Rachel had borne Joseph, that Jacob said unto Laban, send me away that I may go unto mine own place and to my country. Give me my wives and my children, for whom I have served thee, and let me go. For thou knowest my service which I have done thee. And Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry. For I have learned by experience that the Yahweh hath blessed me for thy sake. And he said, appoint me of thy wages, and I will give it. And he said unto him, thou knowest how I have served thee, and how thy cattle was with me. For it was a little of which thou hast before I came, and it is now increased into a multitude. And the Yahweh hath blessed thee since my coming. And now, when shall I provide for mine own house also? And he said, what shall I give thee? And Jacob said, thou shalt not give me anything. If thou wilt do this thing for me, I will again feed and keep thy flock. I will pass through all thy flock today, removing from thence all the speckled and spotted cattle, and all the brown cattle among the sheep, and the spotted and speckled among the goats. And as such shall be my hire, so shall my righteousness answer for me in time to come, when it shall come from my hire before thy face. Everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and browned among the sheep, that shall be counted stolen with me. And Laban said, Behold, I would it might be according to thy word. And he removed that day the he-goats that were ringed straight and spotted, and all the she-goats that were speckled and spotted, and every one that had some or white in it, and all the brown among the sheep, and gave them into the hand of his sons. And he sit 3 days journey betwixt himself and Jacob, and Jacob fed the rest of the Laban's flock. And Jacob took him rods of green of poplar and of the hazel and chestnut tree, and pale white streaks in them, and made the white appear which was in the rods. And he set the rods which he had peeled before the flocks in the gutters, in the watering troughs, when the flocks came to drink, that they should conceive when they came to drink. And the flocks conceived before the rods, and brought forth cattle, arranged straight, speckled and spotted. And Jacob did separate the lamb, and set the faces of the flocks toward the ring straight, and all the brown and the flock of Laban. And he put his own flocks by themselves, and he put not unto Laban's cattle. And it came to pass, whensoever the stronger cattle did conceive, that Jacob laid the rods between the eyes of the cattle in the gutters, that they might conceive among the rods. But when the cattle were feeble, he put them not in. So the feebler ones was Laban's, and the stronger was Jacob's. And the man increased exceedingly, and had much cattle, and maid servants, and men servants, and camels, and asses. When the Jacob's 14 years service to obtain his two wives were over, he wanted to move his family and possessions back into his own country whence he came. But Laban knew that he had prospered by having Jacob with him, and for this reason he did not want him to leave. Had Jacob not been enterprising and faithfully producing more than he consumed, you know that Laban would not have wanted Jacob to stay even as long as he did. The thing that makes anyone valuable in the world is his ability to see and fill a need that exists in the world. A valuable man does not gain this reputation by measuring the good he will do by what he expects to receive in return. He is the valuable man, I repeat, because he saw and filled a need that existed in the world. Genesis 30:27. And Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience that the Yahweh hath blessed me for thy sake. This is the kind of recommendation the Christian should cause to be said of his religion by those for whom he works. Such a recommendation comes only by the putting practical religion and thought into your everyday living and working habits, and by producing more than you consume. The real Christian will never say what I heard a man say one time. He told me that where he was working, he was getting only a certain amount per hour, which he stipulated in a tone of dissatisfaction. And then he quickly added that is all, the value and work he would give them. Two, that is not the way to commend your religion to anyone for whom you intend to continue working, but it is the way to get yourself out of the door sooner or later. Let us read again in Genesis 30:31-34. And he, Laban, said, What shall I give thee unto Jacob? And Jacob said, Thou shalt not give me anything. If thou wilt do this thing for me, I will again feed and keep thy flock. I will pass through all thy flock today, removing from thence all the speckled and spotted cattle, and all the brown cattle among the sheep, and the spotted and the speckled among the goats, and of such it shall be my heart. So shall my righteousness answer for me in the time to come, when it shall come for my heart before thy face. Everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and the brown among the sheep, that shall be counted stolen with me. And Laban said, Behold, I would it might be according to thy word. In the drawing up of the new labor contract, Jacob said he did not want Laban to give him anything. He wanted to work for Laban on a purely production basis and what Elohim would give him. Laban listened unto Jacob's proposal and agreed to it because he expected the spotted lambs to be fewer than the others. Jacob, on the other hand, proposed this kind of contract because he knew that Elohim was with him and would bless him. He seemed to know also that there is a natural law that we are blessed only when we put forth exertion and thought, for it took both on Jacob's part to prepare the rods and to separate the feeble from the strong cattle when they came to drink, and Elohim did greatly bless him. Genesis 31:1. And he heard the words of the Laban son, saying, Jacob hath taken all away that was our father's, and of that which was our father's hath he gotten all this glory. Laban's sons said Jacob became rich because of Laban, but it was Elohim who made him rich because of his faithfulness and efforts. Genesis 31:2-4. And Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as before. And the Yahweh said unto Jacob, Return unto the land of thy fathers, and unto thy kindred, and I will be with thee. And Jacob sent and called Rachel, and Leah to the field, and to his flock. Though Jacob was rich, he was still on the job. Genesis 31:5-6. And said unto them, I see your father's countenance, that it is not toward me as before, but the Elohim of my father hath been with me. And you know that with all my power I have served your father. He served Laban with all his power, and he acknowledged that Elohim had blessed him. Genesis 31:7-9. And your father hath deceived me and changed my wages 10 times, but Elohim suffered me not to hurt me. If he said thus, the speckle shall be thy wages, and all the cattle bear speckle. And if he said thus, the ring straight shall be thy hire, then bear all the cattle ring straight. Thus Elohim hath taken away the cattle of your father and given them unto me. Both of the men charged each other with a deceit. In his account unto his wives, Jacob recalled that Laban had changed his wages repeatedly, and furthermore, he pointed out that he could not help it, that the cattle came range straight and speckled. He had simply put forth his best efforts, and Elohim had blessed him. Genesis 31:10-12. Now I have a comment to make here. For 32 years, my wife, Catherine, and I, we started out at the same time, not together, but we were together in the church at Gilead Center from 1970 on until we were separated officially in 2003, a total period of 33 years. And you know, my wife knew the Johnsons many years before 1970, and she they were family together. My wife's family and the Johnson family, they were just like one family together. They helped each other. Well, that continued on with my wife after 1970 for Gilead Center, for the Johnson family. And it continued with me at the same 33 years, 1970-2003. We give our undivided attention and help to the Johnsons whatever they need, above and beyond the call of duty. And Yahweh used me, especially, to save the property of the Johnsons whenever they made a bad deal and lost it to the world. And He gave me the ability to save it and to retrieve it and deliver it to them, back to them, into their hands. And yet, through all of this, whenever it was over with, they called us enemies and devils and everything else. Same thing that Laban did to Jacob. Jacob worked 20 solid years. He proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that he was a servant of Yahweh. And Laban knew it. Laban knew it. But because Laban was just a heathen idolater, you couldn't, unless he become born again and converted by Jacob's example, he would not break over. Same thing down there at Kermit for 33 years. The example we set, my wife and I couldn't have done more. We were at their beck and call for anything they needed. If they were sick and afflicted, right down to their dying son, David. We were the last people that they brought their son to before he died. They tried everybody else in the world, and finally they brought him to us, but it's too late for us to save him. And so, there you have it, type and antitype of this Jacob situation. And I will say one thing, that I had moved out to Kermit around 1982, 83, and I spent 20 years there in Kermit. And that's when I was separated from being in the camp of Kermit for 20 years. And because the first 12 years I spent living about 400 miles away in the metroplex of Fort Worth and Dallas area where I did my inventory work, had my own inventory business, but I worked pretty much out away from Fort Worth and Dallas, all over Texas, and even went into other states to do my inventory work. But the call came one day for me to move to the camp of Kermit, Texas there, and so everything worked out to where I was separated from my family, and I sold out all my property and houses and everything, my house, and I moved to Kermit, and that's where I spent 20 years. Same identical time that Jacob spent with Laban. And then after 20 years there, Yahweh brought me back to the hill country, the country that I was familiar with, and this is where I've been ever since, for the last 12 years. Okay, or the last 11 years, actually. Let us continue. Genesis 31, 10 and 12. And it came to pass at the time that the cattle conceived that I lifted up mine eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the cattle were arranged straight, speckled and grizzled. And the angel of Yahweh spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob? And I said, here am I. And he said, lift up now thine eyes and see all the rams which leap upon the cattle are arranged straight, speckle and grizzle, for I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. Elohim revealed unto Jacob that he himself was responsible for Jacob's good fortune. Had Jacob not been faithful, however, do you think Elohim would have blessed him? Elohim blesses us only when we keep busy at our given work, whatever it may be. Moreover, just as Jacob saw all of the evil that Laban did toward Jacob, and moreover, just as Yahweh saw all the evil that Laban did toward Jacob, and did not suffer him to hurt Jacob, so also whatever anyone attempts to do against his faithful people today, it will in the end fail to accomplish the intended purpose to injure them, for Elohim will turn it around at least to glorify himself and to bless his people. And when Elohim wants to bless someone, no one, not even the devil, can keep him from doing it. Okay, Genesis 31:14-16. And Rachel and Leah answered and said unto him, is there yet any portion of inheritance for us in our father's house? Are we not counted of him strangers? For he has sold us and has quite devoured also our money. For all the riches which Elohim hath taken from our father, that is ours, and our children. Now then, whatsoever Elohim hath said unto thee, do. Laban's daughters, too, recognized the fact that their father was selfish and a grafter. They were therefore willing to cooperate with Jacob in whatever Elohim had told him to do. Genesis 31:17-22. Then Jacob rose up and set his sons and his wives upon camels, and he carried away all his cattle and all his goods which he had gotten, the cattle of his getting, which he had gotten in Padan-Aram, for to go to Isaac his father in the land of Canaan. And Laban went to shear his sheep, and Rachel had stolen the images that were her father's, and Jacob stole away unawares to Laban the Syrian, in that he told him not that he fled. So he fled with all that he had, and he rose up and passed over the river and set his face toward the Mount Gilead. And it was told Laban on the third day that Jacob was fled. Okay. So here you have Laban a Syrian. Okay. So apparently Syria back then was across the river outside the borders of Israel. I have thought and taught before that Syria is in the land of Israel, and I'm going to have to do some geographical work there to make sure I know what I'm talking about. The fact that Laban was unaware of Jacob's absence until someone informed him of it 3 days after he left shows that Jacob had taken care of Laban's work so well that Laban did not have to go every day to check up on Jacob's work. Genesis 31:23-27. And he took his brethren with him and pursued after him 7 days' journey, and they overtook him in the Mount Gilead. And Elohim came to Laban the Syrian in a dream by the night, and said unto him, take heed that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad. Then Laban overtook Jacob. Jacob had pitched his tent in the mount, and Laban with his brethren pitched in the mount of Gilead. And Laban said unto Jacob, what hast thou done that thou hast stolen away unawares unto me, and carried away my daughters as captives, taken with a sword? Wherefore didst thou flee away secretly and steal away from me, and didst not tell me, that I might have sent thee away with mirth and with songs, with tabrets and with harp? Laban pretended in this, for were he not a lion, Elohim would not have said to appear to Laban in the dream to warn him to leave Jacob alone. Genesis 31:28-29. And hast not suffered me to kiss my sons and my daughters? Thou hast now done foolishly in so doing. It is in the power of my hand to do you hurt. But the Elohim of your father spake unto me yesternight, saying, take thou heed that thou speak not unto Jacob either good or bad. So what could Laban do? Genesis 31:30-36. And now, though thou wouldest needs be gone, because thou sore longest after thy father's house, yet wherefore hast thou stolen my gods? And Jacob answered and said unto Laban, because I was afraid, for I said, peradventure thou wouldest take by force my daughters from me. With whomsoever thou findest thy gods, let him not live. Before our brethren, discern thou what is thine with me, and take it unto thee. For Jacob knew not that Rachel had stolen them. And Laban went into Jacob's tent, and into Leah's tent, and into the two maidservants' tents, but he found them not. Then went he out of Leah's tent, and entered into Rachel's tent. Now Rachel had taken the images, and put them in a camel's furniture, and sat upon them, and Laban searched all the tent, but found them not. And she said unto her father, let it not displease my master that I cannot rise up before thee, for the custom of women is upon me. And he searched, but found not the images. And Jacob was wroth, and chode with Laban. And Jacob answered and said unto Laban, what is my trespass, what is my sin, that thou hast so hotly pursued after me? Jacob knew that Laban was not saying and doing all these things for nothing, and he demanded that Laban explain his reason for his behavior. Jacob continues speaking in Genesis 31:37-42. Whereas thou hast searched all my stuff, what hast thou found of all thy household stuff? Set it before my brethren and thy brethren, that they may judge betwixt us both. This 20 years have I been with thee, thy ewes and thy she-goats have not cast their young, and the rams of thy flock have I not eaten. That which was torn of the beast I brought not unto thee, I bear the loss of it. Of my hand this shall require it, whether stolen by day or stolen by night. Thus I was in the day the drought consumed me, and the frost by the night. And my sleep departed from mine eyes. Thus have I been 20 years in thy house. I served thee 14 years for thy 2 daughters, and 6 years for thy cattle, and thou hast changed my wages 10 times, except the Elohim of thy father, the Elohim of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had been with me. Surely thou hast sent me away now empty. Elohim hath seen mine affliction and the labor of my hands, and rebuked thee yesternight. Whether Jacob had kept the cattle in the best possible way, so that there was no loss to Laban. Jacob himself had suffered the loss of those which happened to be stolen. He had watched and worked diligently both day and night, tending well unto his business, and that is the real reason that Laban was after Jacob now. He knew that Jacob was a valuable worker and that he needed him. We too must be diligent and faithful, as was Jacob, if we are to enter the kingdom, for the men that are wanted in the Elohim's cause are men who are dependable in whatever Yahweh gives them to do. Genesis 31:43. And Laban answered and said unto Jacob, these daughters are my daughters, and these children are my children, and these cattle are my cattle, and all that thou seest is mine, and what can I do this day unto thee and my daughters, or unto their children which they have borne? Poor Laban, everything was his, yet there was nothing he could do to possess them. Genesis 31:44-52. Now therefore come thou, and let us make a covenant, and I and thou, and let it be for a witness between me and thee. And Jacob took a stone and set it up for a pillar, and Jacob said unto his brethren, gather stones, and they took stones and made an heap, and they did eat there upon the heap. And Laban called it Jager Sadutha, but Jacob called it Galeed. And Laban said, this heap is a witness between me and thee this day. Therefore was the name of it called Galeed and Mizpah. For he said, the Yahweh watch between me and thee when we are absent one from another. If thou shalt afflict my daughters, or if thou shalt take other wives beside my daughters, no man is with us. See, Elohim is witness betwixt me and thee. And Laban said to Jacob, behold this heap, and behold this pillar which I have cast between me and thee. This heap be witness, and this pillar be witness, that I will not pass over this heap to thee, and that thou shalt not pass over this heap and this pillar unto me for harm. Laban finally became convinced that he could do nothing, and being fearful of the Jacob, he proposed that they enter into a covenant together for peace. Genesis 31:53-55. The Elohim of Abraham and the Elohim of Nahor, the Elohim of their father, judge betwixt us, and Jacob swore by the fear of his father Isaac. Then Jacob offered sacrifice upon the mountain, called his brethren to eat bread, and they did eat bread and tarried all night in the mount. And early in the morning Laban rose up and kissed his sons and his daughters and blessed them, and Laban departed and returned unto his place. Laban had gone after Jacob with the intention of cursing him, but he was obliged to bless him instead. Now we as Christians must be joined to the Yahweh, even as Jacob was, and be diligent in the pursuit of that which Elohim had given each of us to do. If we should be blessed as he was, diligent and faithfulness characterize all the great men of the world. And it is the only way to gain lasting blessings and be in the favor with both Elohim and man. For it says, a wise man, a faithful man, shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. He that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye, and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him. Proverbs 28:20-22. May each of us, as children of Elohim, be aware that he sees all that we do and reads all our thoughts. May our constant motive be that of serving him and not ourselves. May we live to bless others and not just to seek the means by which we only may exist. May we realize that no man can put us down if Elohim wants us up. And finally, may we realize that it is Elohim from whom all blessings flow. Thus may we prepare ourselves for the day when Elohim shall separate the saints and the hypocrites and give each his rightful reward. Okay, 12 symbolic code number 3. The title, what we may be if we work with Elohim and let him work with us. Sermon 1939, Levit Yehalef. It says, Isaiah 62:1. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest, until the righteousness thereof go forth as a brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. For this verse denotes that it will take much speaking and effort on Elohim's part before righteousness and salvation will go forth out of the Zion and Jerusalem. It is because Elohim's people need a work to be done for them that will cause him to continue speaking and working until righteousness and salvation are accomplished. We may be certain also that in this process we as a body will win, but some as individuals will lose out because they, like the rebellious Israel of old, will not submit themselves unto the necessary requirements that the Elohim lays before them. For they refuse to exchange their ways for his ways and their thoughts for his thoughts. Isaiah 62:2. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name which the mouth of Yahweh shall name. A new name is to be given unto his people as a body, and perhaps even as individuals also, just as it was in the cases of Abraham, Sarah, and Jacob. For after our characters are changed, Elohim may wish to give us name that would be indicative of that fact if our present name should not be then be fitting. Elohim is going to make his people so glorious that kings who now glory in their power will then acknowledge the glory of his people. Consequently, if we are to be among that people, then we are going to be made known in all the world, even unto all kings, at the time when the Elohim makes his people known, and our names will be classed forever among the names of the great men of the scriptures. Do you actually realize that? Isaiah 62:3. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Yahweh, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy Elohim. We are also to be a crown of glory in the hands of the Elohim. Isaiah 62:11. Behold, Yahweh hath proclaimed unto the end of the world, saying, Say ye unto the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. This glorious announcement is to be made just before we receive our reward, and of what will our reward consist if we are faithful? Eternal life, a place in the kingdom of the Yahshua, a complete cleansing of the body, soul, and spirit, thus making us a people without guile, a crown of glory unto Elohim and everything else that goes with it. Let us now turn to Joel 2:1. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound alarm my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Yahshua cometh, for it is now at hand. Here a command is given unto someone to blow a trumpet and sound an alarm. Why? For the day of the Yahweh cometh, for it is now at hand. Joel 2:2. A day of the darkness and of gloominess, a day of the clouds and of the thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong, there hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even as in the years of many generations. In this day of the gloominess and thick darkness, there is also to be a great and a strong people, if they are to be greater and stronger than any in the past. Then they will exceed in the strength even Samson. What is it that will make that people so strong? The very first requisite is faith. The second is courageous action. We must continue to believe even in the face of the service communication or the severe communications that will present themselves to challenge our faith. For we must realize, therefore, that not a little faith, but very much faith is required of any who would be among this great people. Ever remember that the Israelite multitude and later the whole nation completely lost out simply because of the unbelief which led unto their rebellion against Elohim's ways until there was no remedy. As an incidental thought, we might mention also that Samson was obedient to a strict diet and a specific injunction concerning his hair, and his strict adherence to these requirements did prove to be the provisions he had to meet in order to possess superior muscular strength. This example teaches us that if Elohim requires of us something which he may even require of no others, the purpose in it can be served in no other way than by our strictly adhering unto it. If Elohim, for instance, has given us dietary and other requirements to follow in order to keep us separate from the world so that he can deliver us from the evils in the world, then we must obey them if we would be delivered. Now let us return our attention unto Joel's prophecy by reading Joel 2, verse 3. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness, yea, and nothing shall escape them. Okay, it says that what will make the land before them as a garden and behind them a desolate wilderness? They will leave nothing behind but desolation, for they will gather out all the saints into the kingdom of the Elohim, which is ahead of them. Let us turn to Isaiah 33:14. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness has surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with the everlasting burning? Fire is both before and behind, and only those therefore who are insulated then with the righteousness of Yahshua will be able to safely to stand between these two fires. Isaiah 33:15-19. He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppression, that shaketh his hands from holding of the bribe, that stoppeth his ears from the hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil, he shall dwell on high. His place of the defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him, his water shall be sure. Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off. Thine heart shall meditate terror. Where is the scribe? Where is the receiver? Where is he that counted the tower? Thou shalt not see a fierce people, a people of a deeper speech than thou canst perceive, of a stammering tongue that thou canst not understand. We do not now see the great men joining themselves with the Elohim's people, and moreover, Elohim's truth does not come unto us in a deeper speech than we can perceive, neither in a tongue which we cannot understand. For the Elohim's people will be able to understand, and they will also be able to live in the midst of the fire. Besides all this, their bread and their water will be sure. Let us reread verses 15-19 and include verse 20. Isaiah 33:15-20. He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppressions, shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, that shutteth his eyes from seeing evil. He that dwelleth on high, his place of defense shall be the munition of rocks. Bread shall be given him, his water shall be sure. Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off. Thine heart shall meditate terror. Where is the scribe? Where is the receiver? Where is he that counted the towers? Thou shalt not see a fiercer people, a people of a deeper speech than thou canst perceive, of a stammering tongue that thou canst not understand. Look upon Zion, the city of our solemnity. Thine eyes shall see Jerusalem as a quiet habitation, a tabernacle that shall not be taken down. Not one of the stakes thereof shall ever be removed, neither shall any of the cords thereof be broken. This is why our king shall at last seek our glory. Joel 2:4. For the appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as the horsemen, so shall they run. The appearance of horses is that of the strength, nobility, and even graceful beauty. Joel 2:5-6. Like the noise of the chariots on the tops of the mountains shall they leap, like the noise of a flame of fire that devours the stubble, as a strong people set in the battle array. Before their face the people shall be much pained. All faces shall gather blackness. When the Israelites went out of Egypt, all the nations trembled. So will it be with us in the end gathering of the saints. Joel 2:7-8. They shall run like the mighty men. They shall climb the wall like the men of war. They shall march every one on his ways, and they shall not break their rank. Neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk every one in his path. And when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. This army will act in the perfect unity, and each will tend well to his own given part of the work. Moreover, none will suffer harm. Joel 2:9. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb up upon the houses. They shall enter in at the windows like a thief. In the time of the image of the beast, when harm will threaten Elohim's army, they will nevertheless fearlessly go out to carry the gospel everywhere. Joel 2:10. The earth shall quake before them, the heavens shall tremble, the sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. This suggests that his people will have power of the kind which Joshua and Hezekiah and Elijah had. Joel 2:11. It says, and the Yahweh shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great. He is strong that executes his word, for the day of the Yahweh is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? We must be righteous if we would abide it. Joel 2:12. Therefore also now, saith the Yahweh, turn ye even unto me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. For this reason we should now turn to Elohim with all our hearts, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. This is what Elohim calls for now from each of us individually. Joel 2:13. And rend your heart and not your garment, and turn unto the Yahweh, your Elohim, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of the great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. When we rend our hearts, we will, in other words, be inwardly repentant, and it will be our experience only if we are genuine believers, knowing that we believe and believe in what we know. Okay, Joel 2:14-18. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Yahweh your Elohim? Blow the trumpet in the Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and those that suck the breath. Let the bridegroom go forth to his chamber, and the bride out of her closet. Let the priest, the minister of Yahweh, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Yahweh, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is your Elohim? Then will Yahweh be jealous for his land and pity his people. Not the heathen, but Elohim is to rule over his people. Nevertheless, in order to obtain this blessing, it will require the most earnest supplication and effort on the part of his people. Joel 2:19. Yea, the Yahweh will answer and say unto his people, Behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and you shall be satisfied therewith, and I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen. These are Elohim's promises unto us. Micah 4 and Isaiah 2 clearly outline the great blessing Elohim has in store for those who choose to serve him. For our further encouragement today, let us turn unto Micah 4:1. It says, But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Yahweh shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted by the hills, and people shall flow under it. For the Elohim is a kingdom, which is the everlasting kingdom of heaven, which is the same thing as the kingdom of David here in the 12th hour, which Daniel in his second chapter said would be set up in the days of these kings, is here referred to as the mountain. So that would be the mountain of the house of Mount Zion, the 12th hour, the house of David. Micah 4:2. And many nations shall come and say, Come and let us go up unto the mountain of Yahweh and unto the house of the Elohim of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his path. For the law shall go forth of the Zion, and the words of Yahweh from Jerusalem. To continue our reading, let us now skip a few verses and read very carefully. Micah 5:1-15. Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be a little among the thousands of the Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is to be a ruler in Israel, whose going forth hath been from of old, from the everlasting. Therefore will he give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel, and he shall stand and feed in the strength of Yahweh, in the majesty of the name of Yahweh, his Elohim. And they shall abide, for now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. And this man shall be the peace when the Assyrians shall come into our land, and when he shall trade in our palaces. Then shall we arise against him 7 shepherds, and 8 principal men, and they shall waste the land of Assyria with the sword, and the land of Nimrod, and the entrances thereof. Thus shall he deliver us from the Assyrian when he cometh into our land, and when he treadeth within our borders. And the remnant of the Jacob shall be in the midst of many people, as the dew from the Yahweh, as the showers upon the grass, that tarrieth not for man, nor waiteth for the sons of men. And the remnant of Jacob shall be among the Gentiles in the midst of many people, as a lion among the beasts of the forest, as a young lion among the flocks of the sheep, who, if he go through, both treadeth down and teareth in pieces, and none can deliver. Thine hand shall be lifted up upon thine adversaries, and all thine enemies shall be cut off. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith Yahweh, that I will cut off all thy horses out of the midst of thee, and I will destroy thy chariots, and I will cut off the cities of thy land, and throw down all thy strongholds, and I will cut off witchcraft out of thine hand, and thou shalt have no more soothsayers. Thy graven images also will I cut off, and thy standing images out of the midst of thee, and thou shalt no more worship the work of thine hands, and I will pluck up thy growth out of the midst of thee. So will I destroy thy cities, and I will execute vengeance and anger and fury upon the heathen, such as they have not heard. For the Elohim has determined that he will cut out all wickedness, and when he does in it, his people will then be made great through it. In Isaiah chapter 32 and 34, a further description is given of what the Yahweh has done and will yet do, and then speaking of his righteous people, we read in Isaiah 35:1-2, The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, And the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with the joy and singing. The glory of the Lebanon shall be given unto it, for the excellency of the Carmel and Sharon shall see the glory of the Yahweh and the excellency of our Elohim. This means close our study this hour in contest. It's the 11th hour call. We're going to close now with a song entitled, His Name is Wonderful.
His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Yahshua, my King. He is the mighty King, Master of everything. His name is wonderful. Yahshua, my King. He's the great Shepherd, the Rock of all ages, a mighty King is He. Bow down before Him, bow down adore Him. His name is wonderful, Yahshua, my King.